Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Jewel Mullen, the Commissioner of Connecticut, State Department of Public Health, and the immediate past president of the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials. Thank you for coming to this session. While I don't have any financial relationships to reveal, I will share with you that I left my 10:30 session in which I talked about health and old policies and healthy aging to come and give this presentation. This is a different presentation, not the other one, but in my total observation of this week's session is that there are so many conversations going on all across the McCormick Center that I hope take us away from the APHA meeting this year, doing the work on the ground to get to being the healthiest nation. I'm going to talk about the work that I led as ASPHA president. When you're the president for a year, you have the opportunity to promote a platform. And I decided that I wanted to make mine on building partnerships and collaboration to promote healthy aging so that older adults would be able to live and age in the communities where they want to be. And you know, I called it in part awareness raising and in part my contribution to at least growing a movement, if not starting one. As Lynn already told you, ASPHO is the membership organization for state health officials. And between the 8 territories, DC and the 50 states, we represent over 100,000 public health professionals. I think everybody probably is aware that we've had people walking around for a while now talking about a silver tsunami. I don't use those words, but it's my reaction to that term of a threat or a disaster that has also wanted me to say I can do my part to reframe the reality that we are part of the United States or wherever we come from, aging demographic, which includes the realization that in our country the number of older adults over the age of 65 is projected to double somewhere between 2040 and 2050. And a few months ago here in Chicago at a meeting at the Alzheimer's Institute, I was fortunate to see this slide, which I think very compellingly demonstrates what we've looked like in the U.S. as the population has changed, our population pyramid has evolved, and we've had an evolution, an increase in what's called the dependency ratio of those over 65 and those under 18 who are maybe out of the workforce and looking for and requiring more assistance, caregiving, and economic support. So that's the threat that some people see, but there are also a lot of opportunities there, and if people can't see an opportunity that they can think of as a positive one, it's more than an opportunity, but an imperative for us to think about what we're going to do, because this is just the reality, if nothing else. And I've been finding it interesting to hear over the past week reports of China's deciding to end its one-child policy as one, I don't know if other people have seen that in the news, but that's one example of reacting to a situation which has been evolving for probably a very long time without a lot of other strategies thought about. So the other reason that for me, advancing healthy aging has been important is that as a practicing doctor working a lot with older adults in the community setting, they always would say to me, we might be older, we're not old. And they themselves were saying, there's more to us. Don't just think of us about burdens on the healthcare system. And Living Longer Better was a health promotion program that I led with a nurse in a senior center when I was still doing clinical work in Western Massachusetts. And it's been important to me to reframe notions of aging away from just medical care and what I call a deficits model, which when I think about grading what people usually think about in aging, I give them 5 B's and an F. And those are the 5 B's and an F, because those would be the kinds of issues that people would usually raise when I would talk about aging. And I mean, I guess the 6 D would be, that's pretty depressing if that's all that you think about. I was in another country recently, and a gerontologist there said she likes to talk about the opportunities associated with their aging demographic as their golden bloom. And I thought that that was a very nice term. So promoting healthy aging with, you know, an older adult's basic conceptualization of aging as we know it through the WHO, CDC, and National Association of Chronic Disease Directors has been important for me to remind people that when we talk about health in all policies, to please also think about healthy aging in all policies. And the CDC, and I'm going to fly through slides with the hope that you'll get them and you can go through them in more detail, puts together a very nice model of optimal aging that incorporates social determinants along the way. Along with our aging demographic, we have an increasingly diverse demographic. And as you can see, there's geographic variation in the median age of older adults. So we talked a little bit about America's health rankings, and I wanted to just include this slide, which I know looks busy, but if you're in a state like mine, Connecticut, you can say, oh, we're moving up within the top 10 of the healthiest states, and that's great in our overall America's health rankings. I found it really interesting to also look at the America's health ranking senior report, because it, for the data presented, is also a reminder that what we look about for in our general population does not necessarily play out among older adults. So what I have here is the rank of the top 22 states, and then what their rank was for the senior report. And while there were some that were very close, even in Connecticut, you can say, well, okay, still in the top 10, but then you can look at some other places where there's more of a splay. So that's important for people to think about when they're really doing their health and all policies considerations as well. And then finally, to remember that when we're talking about healthy aging, we're not just talking about longevity, but healthy life expectancy over the age of 65, knowing that there's a lot of geographic variation there that also is very easily demonstrated by race and by gender. So all of that, on top of the reality that the majority of older adults want to stay in their communities at home for as long as they can, is what drove me to my call to action for state health officials to promote healthy aging. And I based that on the national prevention strategy, because I have, since the passage of the ACA and the development of the strategy, called it sort of the brilliance of the Affordable Care Act, because it was the reminder, alongside everything around health system transformation and improving quality and payment reform and insurance, that there's prevention, and that that was also a very, very significant component of health reform that we should be working towards. So the prevention strategy. Asking state health officials to advance healthy aging is sometimes a stretch goal for them, because technically only in 8 states does the public health agency actually have authority for aging. And is there anybody else here who gets siloed funding and has to deal with TERF issues? Because I do, and if none of you have ever had that issue, you know, it can be increasingly complicated to say you're going to step out on your own and do something, which makes it even more important for public health to figure out how to be a partner in promoting healthy aging. And that's what the majority of my state counterparts did in signing on to our President's Challenge. Some of the work that we have accomplished over the past year was working with the ASPO team, specifically Lynn Shaw, who I think probably could have called me her other full-time job because of the work she did to support me this year, was played out in a number of meetings listed here. And in some of them, like for example, the National Prevention Strategy Partners meeting, I just talked about a lot in our previous session, we had people from housing, elder justice organizations, the National Park Service, transportation, the EPA, all of whom really came to the table knowing that they were doing healthy aging work, and also saying, wow, we can work together, and this is the convening of multiple federal partners. The caregiver chat with WebMD brought to life for us just real people examples for those who tweeted or texted in their concerns that they, sometimes people tweeted in, this is what I'm dealing with today, can you help me today? Just bearing again what the extreme burden on caregivers is. Not because of us, but alongside of us, a number of oral health organizations have been working to advance getting a Medicare benefit for older adults because so few have coverage for dental care. At the Alzheimer's Institute here, one of the phrases that they kept stating was, Alzheimer's disease is a public health issue. And then we have the Surgeon General and the National Institute on Aging combining forces with a number of people promoting physical activity and walking. We were also, I think, able to spread some good information and influence along with others in a number of other congressional meetings, including at the White House Conference on Aging. Some of the work that states have engaged in includes Georgia's development of an Alzheimer's disease registry, working with a number of partners in their state, and promoting cognitive screening for dementia among primary care providers. New York has been standing up an Alzheimer's disease support initiative, and Hawaii has created an aging and disability resource center. So rather than just projects or programs, creation of sustainable, multi-sector type work to support some of the needs in their communities. You can see what's going on in New Mexico, New Jersey, and Oregon. I'll also add that in the state of Wyoming, they have been doing a lot of work to improve dental care and transportation access. In Connecticut, where we work to advance healthy aging, also with a health equity lens, we've been working a lot with our Oral Health Association on improving oral health care in long-term care facilities, and passed legislation 2 years ago requiring that care providers there have formal training to provide oral health care to the residents after our surveys showed the unmet oral health needs in adults in those settings. We've also been doing a lot of work in advanced care planning, which a number of people have said to me, if you're going to do healthy aging, please don't forget to do end of life. And I think that we've seen that Medicare this just came out with an approval for coverage for discussions and advanced care planning. Isn't due to what we've done, but is part of that movement of multiple sectors. And in our state, we have, along with other states, supported and passed in legislation this year support for the CARE Act and AARP initiative, building caregiver support and information for those who care for people discharged from hospitals and long-term care. We've also been doing a lot on livable communities and falls prevention. I will end saying that I think we're really just at the beginning of what we really need to do to make sure that the healthiest nation in a generation really incorporates that life course perspective that the National Prevention Strategy espouses with its Healthy Americans at Every Stage of Life vision. But these are some of the ingredients that will be important. A Greek proverb that I thought was very significant is this, that a society grows great when old men and women plant trees under whose shade they know they'll never sit. I think we're at a point now where we're going to be sitting under those trees too. They might not be as big and robust and leafed out as they might be, but I submit to you that even with the notion of a healthiest nation in a generation, I don't know about you, but I'm 60, and I, you know, if I look at what my life expectancy is, I hope to make it, and I should still be here in a generation too. So with that in mind, with the thought about planting the trees, please consider the healthy aging in all policies, and know that we in public health maybe just need to get invited to some of the other tables where others are doing the work, not necessarily seeing the health impacts of what they're engaged in. Thank you.